You're with Morning Ireland. It's 12 minutes past seven and it is another big week on the Brexit front. With just 5 weeks now to the end of transition, the window for negotiating a trade deal is narrowing. Talks remain stuck on fishing rights and competition. In a moment, we'll talk to our Europe editor, Tony Connolly. But first, here's the British Foreign Minister, Dominic Raab, speaking to Sky yesterday on the importance of fisheries to secure a deal.
The UK wants British fishermen to have access to 80% of fish caught in UK waters. The EU thinks it should be 18%. That feels like a big difference.
But I think it is a significant difference. And Sophie, does that sound right? 18% of control over fish in our own waters. That can't be right.
Do you think that it could collapse over fishing, the deal?
I think it's important that the EU understand the point of principle. If they show the pragmatism, the goodwill and the good faith, that in fairness, I think has surrounded the last leg of the talks, and certainly we've shown in our flexibility, I think there's a deal to be done.
Dominic Raab speaking on Sky yesterday. Tony Connolly, in this, you know, what could be now the final week of negotiations, does it come back to the core issues, the issues of taking back control and the issues of sovereignty encapsulated in fishing and fishing rights?
Yeah, I mean, certainly fishing is still among the three outstanding issues. And I suspect that the UK have been trying to portray fisheries as the last issue that has to be settled. But certainly there's no evidence at all from my vantage point that they've had any breakthrough at all on the level playing field, fair competition, the whole governance issue. But yes, indeed, fisheries is going to be a very difficult issue because politically, any losses in fisheries will be just vividly on display. People will see them immediately. And yes, we reported last week that Michel Barnier was proposing between 15 and 18% of the value of the fish that EU fleets catch in British waters would go back to the UK. That was dismissed as derisory by the UK. And there's been reports that Britain wants at least 80% of the value. And people I've spoken to have said it's not like the UK will be happy with somewhere in between 80 and 18. But even anything approaching 40 or 50% would be way too high for the European Union. So there is the potential for fisheries to really cause a problem. The other issue, I think, is that Boris Johnson is going to have a torrid week with COVID, with the revolt from his backbenchers. And any deal that is reached this week is not going to be great for Boris Johnson, whatever way you look at it. There's going to be some loss of face in terms of what the EU is going to accept in terms of a deal. And if there's no deal, then the business sector in the UK is going to be up in arms. So it's not a great week, if you like, for the kind of goodwill and bravery to get an agreement over the line.
If there are to be concessions on both sides, Tony, at this stage in this the crucial final week, let's say, where do you see the concessions coming?
Well, it's hard to see the concessions on the level playing field. I mean, this is a point of principle for the European Union. How can British businesses who already trade in the single market, how can they be exempt from the kind of standards and regulations that their EU competitors will still have to comply with? You know, that's really at the heart of the level playing field issue. Again, on fisheries, the figures that Michel Barnier is working with are carefully drawn up packages so that the pain of losing fishery stocks is shared across the coastal states. And if you start breaking out of that figure, then you're going to have a scrap between European coastal states about how much quota each one of them should lose. They have been looking at burden sharing so that no single country, be it Ireland or France or Belgium, disproportionately loses out in the fishing deal. So there's very little room for compromise in any of the key outstanding issues. Mm.
Stay with me while we talk now about another issue, because as if Brexit wasn't impacting our lives enough, news this morning, and you heard it in the bulletin, that a post-Brexit ban on the importation of potatoes from the UK could impact chip shops, and that'll surprise many people, I'm sure. Tens of thousands of tons of potatoes are imported from Britain every year. The varieties grown there layer and the soil type means spuds are better suited for chips. So as things stand, the taste of our chips is set to change, or worse still, some operators are speculating that there could be a shortage. So to find out more, our Agriculture and Consumer Affairs correspondent Fran McNulty has been on his favourite assignment of the year so far, a trip to the chip shop.
The familiar sound of a trip to the chipper.
Loads of salt.
Every day, thousands of us pay a visit, but whether you're having fish or a burger, the centrepiece is always the chips. We all have our favourite chipper, but for more than 100 years, for many Dubliners, it's been Leo Burdock's in Christchurch.
Like a napkin in my book?
Derek Duggan has been working at Burdock's since he was a boy. Now his thoughts have turned to Brexit and securing a supply of potatoes which his customers can enjoy.
Well, at this moment in time, nothing has been clarified. Nothing has been signed, sealed or delivered. So we're anxious around that. The supply is going to be affected. The quality will be different. We're looking to try and get as much homegrown stuff as we can, but that might not be ready in time. You know, there might be that supply.
So what's so special about an English spud?
They have a better balance chemically. Their composition is the dry matter and the sugars are more kind of suited for the frying of chips. So they have that crispness and they have that flavour. At this moment in time, Chagas is working on developing a better quality homegrown alternative, but they're not there yet, sadly.
Near Kells in County Meath, Thomas McKeown sorts and bags rooster potatoes for local shops. He heads up the IFA's potato committee. It will surprise many that we import UK spuds to make chips. For home cooking, we import from as far away as Israel and Egypt. But that's no surprise to growers like Thomas, who've seen the sector decline as each year passes.
When I was started here on the farm back in the late 80s, the country grew twice as much potatoes as we did now. I think we grew 43 or 4,000 acres at the time. Now we're down to 22 or 3,000 acres. People's perception of potatoes has changed. Some people see it as, you know, it's a kind of a throwback to the famine and we're trying to get rid of them shackles and go forward. But it's been a staple diet here for years. When lockdown came in March, one of the things, I know Tyler Hall couldn't be got and bread and that, potatoes, consumption of potatoes went up two, threefold. So it did over them few months. So it just shows sometimes people forget, kind of forget where they come from.
There are around 300 potato growers left here. The seed they will plant early next year has already been imported. But what happens the following year is as yet unclear. 60% of seed is imported. Ireland used to be an exporter of seed, but there's a huge dependence now in imports. Thomas McKeown says there could be a change of mindset as a result of what's happening.
I know everything is doom and gloom all the time. Farmers were very good at it, but in fairness, there are opportunities there where we might get the seed. It might help the seed industry here going forward. It might make growers aware of where their seed come from now, and also the public. People just are amazed when they hear that we import so much potatoes from abroad.
A workaround by January is highly unlikely, so chip shops might just have to make do with Irish varieties. Back at Burdock's, Derek Duggan explains what difference that could make.
We can get homegrown potatoes that are produced in Ireland. They will be different. They won't be as crisp, sadly. The sugar balance won't be the same. It will be different. It might be an opportunity to get people in touch with kind of homegrown stuff. But that being said, it will be a different flavour. We might have to alter the salt and vinegar and what we do with the sauces.
A change in taste would be one thing, but if we can't import the 80,000 tonne of spuds which are destined for chippers, what could the impact be? Here's Derek again.
Oh, there could be a shortage. We might have to go smaller portions. We might have to go different approaches. Hopefully that won't be the case, but we'll have to wait and see.
That was Fran McNulty reporting there. Tony Connolly is still with us. And I suppose, Tony, you know, we might all have to get used to a new taste to our chips. But what that report from Fran throws up for me, I suppose, are some of the hidden consequences of the Brexit that's going to happen post a trade deal or no trade deal in January.
That's right, Mary. I mean, we reported last week about the problem of sausages and mince and other composite chilled prepared meals falling foul of EU food safety rules because they'll be coming from the UK, which will be outside the EU. It'll be a third country, and then the UK threatening a reciprocal ban on similar products going from Ireland into the UK. And now we see with potatoes historically, as we know only too well on this in this country, is are subject to disease and blight. And Ireland has been very dependent on seed potatoes coming from Scotland, where there's the temperatures are colder, higher altitude. We also, something like 10% of the potatoes that are produced in Cambridgeshire, and these are what they call ware potatoes, which are suitable for making chips and crisps. 10% of that trade goes to Ireland. So all of these supply chains are being disrupted. And in turn, if the UK start to have to use their own homegrown chips, then they are not going to be able to bring in thousands of tons of chips, of potatoes that come from Belgium. Belgium supplies the McCain brand. All of this knock-on effects. But then potentially Belgian potatoes could be diverted to Ireland. We just don't know.
All right. Tony Connolly, our Europe editor, thank you very much.